This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchor, heading on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and fiancé, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're talking about our favorite theme parks and relating them to our favorite fandoms. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Before we get too much further, a little bit of housekeeping. We're sorry we missed an episode last week. Nancy was traveling back from a cross-country trip. We were busy with some other things, like getting the blog back onto the internet. Thanks, host Gator. And we got engaged.
What?
I know, right? I promise we're not going to call attention to this too much, but we did want to thank everyone on the blog, on Twitter, Facebook, and the... those listening to the podcast for the well wishes. It really did mean a lot to us.
Yeah, I guess it was a good weekend.
Yeah, it was a pretty good weekend, I think. So Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast. And some of the gear you can get is the merchandise that was debuted at Star Wars Weekends. That stuff is now available on Her Universe site. And I believe the Rogue Squadron tank tops will soon be available on ThinkGeek. But you can go and get a Rogue Squadron dress if that strikes your fancy.
I believe you're right. The tank should be available on ThinkGeek shortly. But yeah, if you were at all interested in some of the Her Universe products that premiered at Star Wars Weekends, you can go get it now.
Yay!
So before going too much further, Nancy, what's new on the blog since the last time we all got together for this lovely cacophony of fandom stuff?
We're a bit low on content on the blog. We need to rope people into doing some more projects. I believe Bria might be starting another one because she's a glutton for punishment, apparently. And I have offered to do Rogue Squadron comics if I can acquire them. So, yay. But I did reflect on what I called my golden age of Star Wars, because there's been a lot of talk about, you know, how Episode 7 is going to destroy the expanded universe, and with the so-called casting list that was leaked this week, you know, people are saying, well, there goes the EU, blah, blah, blah. And I just wanted to sit back and reflect on my relationship with the EU, and but I actually do understand people who are disappointed and upset about the EU becoming non-canon or not becoming the main storyline or whatever you want to say. Because for a long time, that was my Star Wars. And, you know, for five, 6 years, that was there, you know, there were no movies coming out. So that's all you had. But, you know, trying to stay positive and say, you know, I will never have that time back because that was when I was becoming a fan and just soaking up everything Star Wars I could get. And, you know, let's try to keep that in perspective and get that level of excitement up for the sequel trilogy because, you know, it's more Star Wars and I think generally that's always a good thing.
I like a point that you made, though, that your golden age of Star Wars isn't necessarily the same as someone else's golden age.
Right. There's, you know, people who love the original trilogy and hate the prequels and think Star Wars has been ruined forever, and want to go back to the time to, 1983 or 1980. And then there are people who were only became fans recently with the Clone Wars, and now the Clone Wars has ended and they feel like their Star Wars has ended too. And then there are going to be people who become fans because of Episode 7. So I think it's, you know, important to remember that we're such a diverse fan group just because Star Wars has been along for so long that, you know, you don't necessarily have to like everything, because I certainly don't. But, you know, if realize that other people are getting enjoyment out of things that you necessarily might not like, and try to keep everything into perspective, basically.
Absolutely. That was a great piece that Nancy wrote. I encourage you to read it. It is available on the blog. You can find a link in the show notes, so be sure to check that out. And with that, we move into a segment we call Fixer's Flash, the stuff we've been up to. And, well, as we mentioned a little bit ago, we had kind of a big event happen.
Yes, I finished Crucible.
All right! Woohoo! That's right, Nancy finished Crucible.
So, yeah, because I was flying across country, and I had to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to catch my flight to Seattle, my plan was to sleep on the plane. Well, there was one problem in that it was absolutely freezing on the plane, and so I could not sleep. So instead, I finished Crucible. And because apparently flying across the country isn't, you know, bad enough, I have to read a book I don't necessarily enjoy. So that's my opinion on Crucible.
For more, tune in a couple of weeks when we have our Crucible Roundtable review.
Yeah, I'm actually not going to write a review for it just because you and Bria already have, and there's really not much more I want to say about it. I actually added things to your review, so I didn't have to write my own. But yeah, but in books that I do like, I've been reading through Overdraft, which is the serial novel by John Jackson Miller, and episode 6 came out on the 11th, and I just got to reading it, and it's still really, really good and really, really fun, and he has really, really mean cliffhangers, and I keep telling him so on Twitter, but it's thoroughly excellent, and you should all go and get it while it's still $1.99, because $1.99, that's a bargain for a full novel. As I said, I went to Seattle, and we went to the EMP Museum, which was a lot of fun, and they had a fantasy exhibit and a horror exhibit and a sci-fi exhibit. And we were mostly going for the sci-fi exhibit, but I think both you and I ended up liking the fantasy exhibit more.
Yeah, the fantasy exhibit was great. It featured a lot of artifacts from everything from Dungeons and Dragons to some manuscript pages from Lord of the Rings. And
costumes.
And video of George R.R. Martin being evil.
Yes, and a dragon huffing and puffing at you. It was really neat, and the theming was excellent. Like, they had, it was all wood, it was all wooden, and they had a, like, bleak kind of leaves on the ground, so it was all, like, atmospheric and things. We went through the horror exhibit mainly to get to the sci-fi exhibit, and I tried not to look at too many things, because horror films scare me. But it looked neat if that's your thing. It's just not my thing. And then the sci-fi exhibit had a lot of artifacts from different shows and talked about all the different archetypes in science fiction. And there was a really cool hyperspace sort of display that you could take your picture and it looked like you were going to hyperspace. So that was fun. And last week, I went to a, it's not necessarily a bar, but it's called the Geek Easy, and it's inside of a comic book shop. And I think the store is actually called a comic shop, and it's, you know, just a regular comic book store. And then in the back, they have this room where they have a bar and tables, and they have TVs all over the room that are showing, like, geeky stuff, and they call it the Geek Easy. And they have different events throughout the week, and on Tuesday nights, they have geek trivia. And I went with my team. We were troops through storms, and they did not have any Star Wars questions, unfortunately. I did, however, get a Downton Abbey question correct, which I wanted to note for the record because I don't watch Downton Abbey.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. I didn't know you'd gotten a Downton Abbey question correct.
Yes, I knew the answer. The question was in the first episode, what historical event has rocked the family and in 1912? And I knew the answer to that question, because I read the internet.
And you have a master's in history, was it?
Yes.
Ringer. You were a total ringer for that question.
So yeah, and actually my friend KL ended up being kind of our MVP, because there was a bunch of comics questions that she ended up getting right. So yeah, it was a ton of fun, and unfortunately it's not something I can do every week, because it's kind of far away, like an hour. But it's definitely a place I want to go, like, maybe once a month.
Next time you're back in Seattle, or next time we're back in Seattle, we're going to have to go to the AFK Tavern.
Yes.
The AFK Tavern, a geek mecca in the Seattle area. all sorts of geeky-inspired and themed food, drinks, games, events.
Yeah, so yeah, I definitely want to go back. And the guys running the trivia, they were called, I cannot remember. Awesome Labs is their name, and they were really, really good. It was just two of them. One of, I think his name was Phil, who was the MC, and Topsy, I think was her name, who was doing all the score tabulating, and they had speaker set up, and so in between questions they had music come on that was related to the question. So like they had a Pokemon question and then they played the Pokemon theme song.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was just really fun and cool. So yeah, I definitely want to go back and bring you back, because there were some video game questions. We were like, damn it, we could use Brian on this. So yeah. We watched some Stargate. We've kind of hit a lull, in our watching, but we did get through, There But For the Grace of God, which is the third to last episode in season one and is one of my favorite episodes of the series.
That is a rare example of an alternate universe episode done right.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm yelling at my dog who is biting a hole in her blanket.
Mar the dog, everyone, the show mascot.
Who got out of the yard earlier and only came back when I called her Mara Jade.
You know, she knows she's in trouble when Mother uses her whole name.
Yep. When I could bust out Mara Jade Skywalker, then that's it.
So we watched There But For the Grace of God.
Yes, and I really like that episode. So, yeah. And I don't know if we have to watch the next episode. The next episode is a clip show. It's kind of important in the, you know, the non-clippy parts, but I guess we'll watch that. And then but when we watch the season finale, we have to be able to watch the season premiere right after that, because it is a cliffhanger.
Oh, okay. I'll be sure to set aside enough time for that.
I was borrowing the DVDs from my friend of mine, and so she only gave me like a few discs at a time, and I didn't have the next disc. And when I got to the end, I was like, what the heck? What did you do? And she would just smile evilly.
Oh, that's the sign of a friend right there.
Yes. So what have you been up to, Brian?
Well, I also finished Crucible. Still reading through Kenobi by John Jackson Miller, which I'm enjoying quite a bit more than the aforementioned Crucible.
Yeah, I started that, but I think I'm only up to chapter 2.
Yeah.
Not because it's good, but just because I haven't really been reading a lot.
And I went and saw Man of Steel earlier this week.
Was it manly and steely?
Yes, it was manly and steely. Although I think I've still got a bit of a headache trying to follow the action. I don't do well with movies that feature shaky cam that much. And this was very heavy on the shaky cam.
I'm really hoping Catching Fire does less with the shaky cam than Hunger Games.
Yeah, I will agree there. I understand why they used the shaky cam in the Hunger Games, though, just so they could edit it in a way to skirt around an R rating.
Yeah, but the reviews of Man of Steel have been so divisive, and I have wanted to see it, and I think my mom wants to see it, so I don't know, maybe we'll go, but if she doesn't want to, I'll probably end up seeing it at non-rental or whatever. But I haven't really been motivated at all to go see movies this year. I don't know why.
As for Man of Steel, I understand why people vehemently dislike it, but I also understand why people do like it. I fall a little more towards the camp of disliking it a bit. Not so much for the stuff that was present in the film, though there were a few plot character things that bothered me. It was mostly for the cinematography. I did not think it was a very well done film from a cinematography standpoint.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be going to see Much Ado About Nothing next week, and that's a movie I'm very excited about.
That movie needs to air somewhere out here, because I need to go see that.
It's playing at our, we have a local, like, indie theater, and it's far away from me, too, but I'm gonna head over there after work, so.
Cool. You'll have to tell me how it is. I've got very high hopes for that one.
Okay,
that's Fixer Slash this week, and now we move on to a segment we call Deke's Dirt, where we gather up the insane, inane news from around fandom and word vomit it onto your laps. We start with news out of E3 a couple weeks ago, Electronics Entertainment Expo. Battlefront 3 is happening.
Yay!
So you can stop asking about it at completely unrelated panels at conventions.
I mean, I'm not a fan of video games, but I think it's good that they are putting this out, because there are a lot of fans of Battlefront, and it's great that they are getting their game.
Yeah, so please stop asking at conventions during Expanded Universe panels and on Facebook Expanded Universe chats.
Yeah.
It's happening. You can stop asking about it at inappropriate places.
Yeah.
Battlefront 3. Am I excited for it? Yeah, not really. I'm kind of in the minority that didn't actually enjoy the first two games that much.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I tried playing one of them. I don't know which one. But I'm terrible at those games, I was killing myself and stuff.
They were fun games, but I wouldn't call them extraordinarily special. I mean, there are other Star Wars IP games that I would much rather see over Battlefront, so. Knights of the Old Republic 3, anyone? Bueller?
I think you'll be waiting for a while for that one.
Doesn't hurt to dream.
Speaking of that,
yes.
Speaking of video games, are you going to get the KOTOR on the iPad?
I already have it.
Why haven't I played it?
I don't know, because you don't have an iPad.
No, did you have it when I was there?
No, I picked it up after you'd left.
Then you get a pass.
Okay. Moving on out of video games news, according to Kevin Kiner? How do you pronounce that?
I think it's Kiner.
Kiner. Yeah. Kevin Kiner. The Clone Wars bonus content could be up to 10 episodes.
Cool.
His quote is, we have about 10 shows that we're still working on that are going to be part of this special material. And eventually, and even hopefully, there is going to be a soundtrack record as part of this special material. We'll see, they're in negotiations about that, so we're not positive that's going to happen. It's still up in the air, but 10 episodes could be the top of what you're seeing.
I think that would be good. I know they have, there was the Yoda clip that they showed at Star Wars Weekends. So that's definitely at least one episode. There's the Order 66 episodes that I heard was an arc. I know they said there was some stuff with Boba Fett. Or did they not say it was Boba Fett? They say it was not Boba Fett.
They said it wasn't Aura Sing and some other bounty hunters. I don't know if that included Boba Fett or not.
And then they have... I know they have the one arc that they were going to show last season with, I think it was Clovis was the guy's name. He was a politician. And then they ended up not showing that. So I'm wondering if that's going to be part of it, just because it's already finished. So it would seem kind of weird not to put it out. So hopefully we'll get some news soon about when this is coming out and how we'll see it. But speaking of the Clone Wars, the show nabbed 2 Emmy wins over the weekend. So way to go, Clone Wars.
Absolutely. Best animated production?
I think so.
Something like that.
And David Tennant won for his performance of the droid Tu Yang, I think is... Hu Yang was his character's name.
He was so good in that role.
Yeah, but so I heard a lot of snarky comments about, oh, why'd we cancel the show, blah blah blah. But I mean, if you're going to end a show, you end with best animated series. I mean, it's like in Seinfeld, you know, George Costanza said he wanted to leave the room on a high note so he'd, you know, make everyone laugh and he'd be, all right, I'm out.
Yeah, and I will say this, coming not as a Clone Wars fan, but as a fan of television in general, I'm of the opinion that it's better to go out for a show to go out on a high note than overstay its welcome by a few seasons.
Me too. And plus, I know there's been a lot of times when, you know, there's a lot of sentimentality in voting. So who knows, maybe people were more apt to vote for Clone Wars because it was canceled. So not saying it didn't deserve it, but, you know, so you know how actors sometimes win Academy Awards because they didn't win the year before and they're like, oh, they should have won. So we're going to vote for them now.
Yeah, sometimes Academy Awards voting can be corrective.
Awards don't really mean much, but I think, you know, it's definitely well-deserved that Clone Wars won. Because look at how many, you know, awards it shows like Battlestar Galactica and all them win.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Say, yay, we won. Stop being snarky for once.
Yeah, this isn't a time to be bitter and snarky. A good show took home a prestigious award. Let's celebrate that for what it is. In the episode 7 corner, George Lucas is upbeat about an Abrams-led Star Wars. His quote, yeah, I'm excited. JJ's a great director and we're friends, George told Access Hollywood at the 2013 Crystal and Lucy Awards. When asked if he's looking forward to JJ's films, he responded, I think he understands the whole thing and how it works. And if he doesn't, Lucasfilm president Kathleen Kennedy will keep it straight.
You do such a terrible George Lucas.
My George Lucas is actually just a Jamie Hyneman impersonation.
Don't ever stop doing that, please.
Yeah, we're going to do episode 7.
He's not, you know, he's retired.
True.
I thought he was supposed to get married this month.
Has he yet?
I don't think so. I thought he was supposed to get married in June.
Maybe it's late. Maybe it's a little later in the month. Maybe next week. I don't know.
But yeah, we had a... George is happy, but then of course people were like, he hasn't even talked to J.J. Abrams yet. Oh my god, Star Wars is ruined. To which I say, why should he have spoken to J.J. Abrams?
George is retired.
Retired.
That and J.J. still doing the post-Star Trek Into Darkness press junket and cleanup.
Yeah, he hasn't started working on the movie. They haven't finished writing the movie. So I think they've got some time.
Again, much of this will fall into place after Michael Arndt's screenplay is officially done.
Yes. And there has been a ton of rumors this week. I don't know what the hell is in the water, but it was like every hour there was a new rumor on the internet about Star Wars or Episode 7 or something. So, to begin, Screen Daily, and this is mostly coming from Club Jade, so thanks Club Jade. Go check out their website, clubjade.net. Screen Daily says that Episode 7 is already prepping to film at Pinewood Studios. So we already knew they were going to film in London, but that's cool that they're prepping. That they probably won't start filming until next year. Another rumor is that the Episode 7 will release on May 29th, 2015.
And it may not be exactly that day, but I'll lend some credence to that rumor just because time frame-wise, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, Star Wars coming out in May? What?
No kidding. What?
I think, yeah. Big Shiny Robot had a report from a Redditor that Episode 7 will feature the return of Darth Vader, but not necessarily Darth Vader as we know him. Basically, the suit. It could be kind of interesting.
I don't know what I think about that rumor.
Yeah. They could do interesting things with it, especially if, like, the galaxy doesn't know that Luke and Leia are Vader's kid. Depending on what they know about Vader being Anakin Skywalker. But just based on the surface of what they said, I was kind of like, I think they're reaching too far.
Yeah, that's a bit too much of a callback to the older materials, and I don't know how much credence I'd give this particular rumor, because it's another one of those heard from a guy who knows a guy who's involved with this kind of rumors.
Yeah.
So, and I just don't see a screenwriter like Michael Arndt going to that particular well.
Yeah, I think that's a big question of this series is, who's going to be the bad guy? Because we really don't know.
Yeah, so we'll see. I don't know if I buy that rumor.
Yeah, like I kind of pretty much wait for Lucasfilm to say things.
Same. Another rumor, though, not exactly Episode 7 related, but Bleeding Cool says Rebels will focus on teenage characters and show the formation of the Rebellion. These are the guys that also scooped the Episode 7 casting call list, but we do obviously caution against freaking out and people trying to figure out the plot of the movie based on a cast list, because, oh my goodness, this movie will have male and female characters of varying ages.
And fitness levels. Don't forget that.
Yes, and fitness levels.
I want to know from someone working in the film industry, because I'm obviously not in the film industry, is this typically what all casting lists read like? Because I was reading this and I wanted to... I was like... Really? This is what they say?
You find actors based on these descriptions?
Yeah, like it was really, really, really weird. But I don't know if that's just the, you know, the norm and they try to be as vague as possible or what. But I was like, I was really amused by all the descriptions of fit and not fit.
Now, I'm going to be amused if this particular leaked casting list is just a red herring.
You know, I would not put it past that.
I wouldn't either. I mean,
because this is the company that recorded David Prowse saying, "No, Obi-Wan killed your father," during filming Empire Strikes Back, and Mark Hamill and James Earl Jones and a few other people were the only people who actually knew what the dialogue said.
Exactly. So even though that this cast list is confirmed, there's a part of me in the back of my head that says, okay, but.
Yeah, when the prequels came out, I wasn't really crazy about spoilers. Like, I wanted to know updates on what was happening and sort of, like, the basic plot. But I think especially for the sequel trilogy, I'm going to try to not jump to conclusions about things just because, you know, that never goes well, I don't think.
No, it doesn't. But going back to this Rebels thing, I will buy that Rebels is focused more on teenage characters and showing the formation of, well, obviously, the Rebellion.
Yeah. Of course, that makes me wonder when exactly it's taken place because, you know, I understand they're going to tell their own story, but I really hope they don't go too different from what's been established in the EU about the formation of the Rebel Alliance, because I really like at least the early version of the formation, not the Force Unleashed version.
Yeah, if they steer more towards the early versions of the formation of the Rebellion, I have zero problems with them overriding the Force Unleashed.
Yeah, or even if they don't necessarily show the official formation of the Rebellion, but show, like, leading up to that, I think that would be interesting. And it also, you know, saying teenage characters, well, 19 years old is a teenager, and that's, I think, the age Luke and Leia were supposed to be in A New Hope. So, are they 15 or are they 19? That's a very important difference. So, it'll be, again, I'm not jumping to conclusions until they actually tell us more specific things.
Yeah, and how's try this one on for size? Wedge Antilles, a young Wedge Antilles, joining the Rebellion.
I would go for that.
Yeah, I can go for that.
Yeah, I could definitely go for that.
And
like they had in Clone Wars, they had that whole arc where they showed Asajj Ventress's backstory.
Yeah.
Something like that.
it would definitely be neat. And I think that could be a great great arc to watch through the course of Rebels.
Man, could you imagine an arc with Leia in the Senate with Palpatine there and Vader? I mean, I would have killed for a book like that, but seeing it on, like, you know, cartoon form.
Shut up and take my money so I can get the Blu-ray disc with the special features.
I know, right?
Yeah. You just tuck that one away and you got my money.
Yeah.
Another rumor, not exactly Episode 7 related again, but kind of. Joe Blow, is that a website? I saw that cited on Club Jade. Okay, so, well, back in your truckload of salt, says a Han spinoff film will, quote, focus on Han and Chewie's relationship, potentially on how they met and became partners in the Millennium Falcon. This sounds like a buddy cop movie.
I know, right?
I want a Star Wars buddy cop movie, and I think this is it. Sold.
That would kind of be interesting, because I don't think that story has ever been told. I mean, we all know the story. But I don't think it's ever been portrayed. And the story being that Han rescued Chewie from slavers, from the Imperials, and then was, you know, kicked out of the, you know, the Empire, the Navy, and they became smugglers. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that comes to fruition, because they've never depicted that. I don't think they could. And the Han Solo trilogy, you know, Han starts off as young, and then he ends up being partners with Chewie. But they don't show it happening, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, that could be interesting. And someone in the chat points out they thought that particular story was officially off-limits. You know, I wonder what is off-limits anymore.
Well, I think it was off-limits as far as the EU is concerned. But now that Disney's in charge, they're I mean, that's an interesting thought as to who gets to say yay or nay. You know, Lucas was always the one who said no big three dying.
And yeah.
Now does that mean they can?
That's certainly food for thought. I do hope I will say that one thing I hope they do stay away from is doing an origin story on Yoda. Just leave that backstory mysterious.
Yeah, no origin story on Yoda. No, nothing on Palpatine. We've already had Palpatine with Darth Plagueis, and that's enough.
Yeah, that's all I want to know. I prefer some characters to be shrouded in mystery like that.
I would like a Dooku book, though.
Yes, I would pay good money for that book. Let's see. Sorry, I lost my place in the show notes. Here we are. A few weeks ago, Nancy, you talked about taking a survey of Star Wars and Disney World during Star Wars weekends.
Yes, I did.
And now we have two reports about the, let's be honest, inevitable expansion of Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, right? Yeah. We had Theme Park Insider report on two different ideas for a Star Wars land. And they were basically saying that Hollywood Studios is going to be completely revamped to have both Cars Land spinning off their little Pixar area and taking over the backlot area, and then a Star Wars land which could either take over the area to, if you're facing Star Tours, to the area left of it where they have the indie show and all of that, or going the other way where they have the New York area and the San Francisco area and all those streets that have absolutely nothing to do and just take up wasted space.
Those areas of the parks, if you've never been there before, really their only functional purpose anymore now that Hollywood Studios isn't actually a functional studio is being home to the Osborne Christmas lights every December and November.
Yeah, I mean, they're cool streetscapes, but they don't have anything in them. Like, you know, I would put a ride in there or, you know, something. Because there's really nothing there. It's just so much wasted space. But that park is terribly laid out anyway. That's another story. But then, in contrast with this, the comic book movie website said that the Star Wars editions are few, with an indoor Jedi Training Academy coming toward the ABC Sound Studio, where they have the American Idol.
Which probably should have been replaced years ago.
Yeah. And the Backlot Express restaurant being converted into a Star Wars ride for kids. And I think those are solid assumptions of what's going to happen. But if this is the only thing that they're doing, they have completely dropped the ball.
And I will say, I don't for a moment believe that's all Disney, say that again, Disney is doing with Star Wars in their parks.
Yeah, definitely.
What I would wager, and Dunk over at Club Jade theorized this, what Comic Book Movie is reporting is all that's approved right now.
Yeah.
And it's two things that are much easier for Disney to implement in their parks. Essentially, you take two existing attractions and spaces and reskin them and retheme them. The other, if they do anything else with the park, it's going to require a lot more engineering work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the first report said that these things weren't going to happen until 2018, which seems to me a really, 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 really long time. Like, I know they just closed Jaws, I think, in 2012. It was like New Year's Day 2012, I think, was the last day Jaws
was right. Open. I visited you and our mutual friend Shannon in 2012, fall of 2012. And
no, 2011.
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry. 2011, and you two dragged me onto Jaws, insisting I had to go because it wouldn't be there much longer. And if I didn't, I'd regret it.
Yeah, actually, I don't even know if they had announced that it was closing yet. But yeah, it closed that the following New Year's Day, I think, or the day after New Year's. So it was like really, it was like this beginning of January. And then they just announced that the Harry Potter expansion will be opening up next year in 2014. So that's it's like 3 years to do that expansion, less than three full years, which if they can do that expansion, they can do Star Wars quicker than 2018. So I'm a little annoyed if it takes that long.
Yeah, but I just can't think that Disney is going to sit on the Star Wars IP like that, especially when they're pumping an incredible amount of money into Avatar Land.
Yeah. So this leads us to our Cammy's Concerns for the week, which is theme parks.
Yes, we have a summer vacation themed discussion topic this week because, hey, look at that. It's the first day of summer.
It is the first day of summer.
How timely and topical.
happy solstice.
So, we're breaking this discussion topic into a couple segments. We're going to talk about, of course, the idea of a Star Wars land and things we'd like to see there. But we also wanted to give you our suggestions of places you can take your summer vacation to enjoy fandomy things. Fun, yes. Geeky, fandomy things.
Yes. Well, obviously, we have our ideas for Star Wars land. I just want a Mos Eisley cantina.
There has to be a Mos Eisley cantina, right?
Right. I mean, they've already got the, you know, the Bith guys walking around. So just have them in there dancing.
Well, not even dancing. You could actually. Disney's great with getting music acts. They can get a they can get a couple of Dixie bands to put them in there and just fit that theme perfectly.
That would be great. I want some sort of roller coaster, like the Death Star roller coaster. I think everyone wants to see, because that would be awesome.
Yes, sort of a la Space Mountain, maybe.
Yeah. I just want to be able to walk around Star Wars.
Yeah, that's what, like, I want more than rides. I want to be able to walk through some of the locations in Star Wars.
Yeah, I want to have Star Wars characters walking around like they do in Star Wars Weekends. And I would like Star Wars fireworks. I don't know if that's going to happen, though, because it's really hard to do fireworks there without shutting down huge areas of the park.
Yeah.
Yeah. And last year at Celebration, Tom Hodges actually, for his print, he created his Star Wars Universe Dream Park. Probably not realizing how timely it was going to be the following year. Or not even the following year, but like a few months after that.
Little did all of us know.
Yeah. So he created this based on the old like Disneyland and Disney World park maps. And we'll put a link up into in the show notes, but it has that spoken wheel design, which is pretty much the best thing for theme parks because you can get to every area.
I didn't know that had a name, Spoken Wheel.
That's because you haven't lived in Orlando. Yes. I have a very interesting book you should read one time called Married to the Mouse. I read it in one of my history classes, and it's all about Orlando and the relationship with Disney World. And the person who wrote it is not very favorable, But it's an interesting book.
Huh.
But anyway, I digress. So basically, he's got all the themed areas. He has a Death Star Trench Run ride, because you got to have that. I like the Kashyyyk family treehouse. The Buncha Eve pod race coaster.
Oh, there's got to be a pod race coaster, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking it should be like, it's not Dueling Dragons anymore at Universal.
Dragon Challenge.
Dragon Challenge. That's got two sets of cars that are constantly intersecting and running towards each other.
That would be cool. Yeah. What else do we have? We've got the Jedi Temple instead of a castle. I think that's a good choice. Cloud City Amphitheater. Can have some shows there. I think Lando would approve.
Works every time.
Of course, you've got Warrior's Cantina. So, yeah, I would go to this park all the time.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cool things Disney could do with Star Wars in their parks, and I think we're all just sitting back hoping that they do a fraction of the cool things possible.
Right, but for now, we've got Star Tours, which is awesome, and if you ever get a chance to go to Disney, you have to ride Star Tours multiple times, because you can get different planets, and it's really, really fun. They've got the Jedi Training Academy every day, which is really cute to see the kids battle Darth Vader and Darth Maul. And if you ever get a chance to go to Star Wars Weekends, I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. They've got different celebrities going on, and we've talked about it enough on the show that you probably are aware of what they've got. But
come for the celebrities, stay for the hyperspace hoopla.
Yes. And I wasn't really that crazy about Star Wars Weekends a few years ago. But then I just, I went, and it's a great atmosphere. And they've got a parade and everything. And, I just like being around the Star Wars and soaking it all in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But Star Wars is not the only attraction at Disney World. They've got the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular, which is a lot of fun if you've never been.
I must, every time I visit and do an extended stay at Disney World, I must go see that show at least twice.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I don't know if the rumors are true, it might be going away, so definitely.
Yeah, see it while you still can.
Yeah. Although a friend of mine was saying that if they do have it go away, that she hopes they make a Star Wars themed stunt show, because there should be a stunt show there.
Agreed. Yeah, there should be a stunt show of some sort. It's a great amphitheater space. That's a great place to just sit down for a little while and watch something fun.
Yeah. There's also Pirates of the Caribbean, which was a ride first, children.
Ride first, then movie.
Ride first, then movie.
And Captain Jack wasn't in the ride until the movie came out.
Yes, and then they changed the ride. but yeah, Pirates of the Caribbean, obviously. Still a classic. Still love the dog with the keys. Because that's always fun. Space Mountain isn't necessarily a franchise, but it's sci-fi if there ever was sci-fi, right?
Absolutely. And if you enjoy the sci-fi in your rides, you might want to head over to Epcot and give a whirl on Mission Space.
I'm shaking my head.
Yes, Mission Space, which is essentially a NASA centrifuge with a video screen and a control console in front of you.
And Gary Sinise.
Yes, and Gary Sinise talking in a
Gary Sinise
voice with much gravitas behind it.
Yeah, I'm still shaking my head. I've gone on the green side of Mission Space, but Nancy and centrifuges do not get along.
So I'm never going to get you to go on the orange line. The orange line being the one that actually has the spinny centrifuge.
Let me tell you a little story about the time I went on the Gravitron at a local fair. Which, as you know, is a ride that makes circles, and you get pushed up against the wall. And let me tell you what happened afterwards was that I barfed all over the place. So unless you don't want me to barf, I will not be going on the orange side.
Okay.
If you don't want me to barf, I will not be going on the orange side.
So would you feel bad watching our bags while other of us went on to the orange version of that ride?
I will sit there and hold your bags and eat popcorn while you are on Mission Space.
And back to the more fandomy thing you could do at Disney World, there's the Pixar stuff, if you're a fan of those films.
Yeah, they've got they've got one ride at Magic Kingdom, the Buzz Lightyear ride. And they've also got the Monsters, Inc. Laugh Factory, which is a ton of fun and makes me giggle every time I go. And they've got the Toy Story Mania ride at Hollywood Studios, which is also a lot of fun, but for some reason has the longest line in the park. So you need a fast pass to go on it unless you want to wait for 3 hours. And I'm not kidding. Older guests will giggle about the firing mechanism of the ride.
Yeah. there's all sorts of great fandom things to do at Disney World. If you're looking for a geeky vacation, you can definitely get some great geek value out of just visiting Disney.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be making Avatar Land at Animal Kingdom, which, okay.
You know, I have not heard anything about that for a while.
I haven't either, so who knows?
But again, if they're going to put that many resources into Avatar Land, that just makes me think that eventually there's going to be a Star Wars Land.
Oh, and I can't believe I forgot to mention this. There's the Maelstrom, which for all you Thor fans is Norway themed.
Yeah, so if your fandom is Thor or Norse mythology, go visit the Maelstrom. At Epcot.
Because it's an awesome ride. And when I say awesome, I mean, yeah. It's all the Norway stereotypes you can imagine.
It's kind of become the Jungle Cruise of Epcot. It's
disappear!
It's there for its sheer cheese factor now.
Yes.
But that isn't the only theme park you can get your nerd on.
No, the best fandom-y theme park ever is the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. It's amazing. If you haven't gone, you need to go. It's at the Islands of Adventure, part of Universal Studios, Florida. Part of Universal Orlando. That's the name of the resort. Universal Studios, Florida is the other park. But yeah, I've been with numerous people who've gone there the first time. When I went there the first time, I cried.
I did too.
Because you are stepping into Hogsmeade and Hogwarts. There is no... you are in Hogwarts and Hogsmeade.
It's like my childhood came true with one step.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And you get to eat at the Three Broomsticks and drink butterbeer, which I don't like, but I recommend at least trying it. What else? Just everything.
You can go get yourself a wand.
You can go to Ollivander's and get a wand. You can go on the little Hippogriff roller coaster. You can go on the Dragon Challenge roller coaster. You can shop at Honeydukes and Zonko's and buy Pygmy Puff. And you can see the Frog Choir and the Triwizard Champions. And it's just, I just love sitting there and looking at all. And even though it's 100 million degrees outside, you still feel like you're in Scotland.
And keep in mind, Universal is putting in another Harry Potter-themed expansion at Universal Studios proper.
Yes, which will be the two parks will be connected via Hogwarts Express.
Is that confirmed?
Yes.
That's amazing.
I know.
Even the connecting tram is amazing.
Yes. So you will have to buy tickets to both parks, but I think that's more than worth the cost of admission. And I believe there will be a Diagon Alley. It's gonna be Diagon Alley. So I am assuming they're gonna have a Gringotts coaster. I don't think they've specified the rides, but there definitely has to be a Gringotts coaster. And I'm assuming there will be a Leaky Cauldron, because what other restaurant is there in Diagon Alley that we know of?
Oh, I'm so excited for that. When are they slated to get that off the ground and running?
Late 2014.
That's quick.
Yep.
Disney, well, come on.
I mean, they've been working on it since early 2012.
Yeah.
So.
Come on, Disney, step up your game. So,
although it was sad that they closed the Jaws, I am more than willing to accept Harry Potter Diagon Alley as penance.
Yeah. And, of course, that's not the only thing you can do at Islands of Adventures at Universal Studio. There's also Marvel Superhero Island.
Yes. Marvel Superhero Island used to be my favorite place in the Islands of Adventure before Wizarding World opened. And it's kind of an interesting place now, considering that Disney owns Marvel. But remember, the theme park was opened in 1999, long before that happened. And I'm not sure how long it will last. I know that the contract states that that Disney can't have a Marvel park east of the Mississippi for a certain number of years or something to that effect. So I'm going to go and keep enjoying Marvel Superhero Island, because you've got the Hulk coaster and Spider-Man ride, which is still one of the best rides around.
I love the Spider-Man ride. If you go on it, keep an eye out for as many Stan Lee cameos as you can find.
Just upgraded the video for it, and it's really amazing and a really good upgrade from the previous video. But even, you know, I rode Spider-Man during the soft opening of the park in 1999, and it was amazing back then. And every time I go on that ride, I'm still amazed that it's still as good as it was 14. It's 14 years ago now, and that ride still seems completely high tech. And what else have they got? Oh, they have a Doctor Doom's Fear for All, which I haven't been on in a long time. And the Storm Force Accelerotron, which is basically like teacups. But yeah, it's a fun place. And they've also got Seuss Landing and Jurassic Park.
Yes, how could we forget that?
Jurassic Park is.
Yeah, there. If you're a fan of Jurassic Park, the gates are there.
Yep.
The gates are there, and you too can say, "What are they hiding back there, King Kong?"
Oh, Brian.
And your friends will side-eye you hard.
Yep, they will. and then at the Universal Studios Florida park, they just opened the new Transformers ride. So if Transformers is your thing, you can go on that. I still love the Terminator 2 show, which is really old and outdated now, but is still fun and has air conditioning. So you can't beat that. And they've got a Men in Black ride there, which is a lot of fun. They've got a Simpsons ride, which I'm still bitter that it replaced Back to the Future, but oh well. And what else is over there? The Mummy ride. So yeah, those two parks are really, really good for fandom-y things.
I essentially can say if your fandom is film, go to Universal and go to Islands of Adventure.
Yeah.
But yeah, yes. I mean, there's a lot of great things to do. If you're looking for a geeky summer getaway, head down to Orlando, Florida, and just head out there to enjoy the parks.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand why people don't like theme parks, because there are many times when I don't like theme parks. But I just love going around and enjoying the atmosphere. And I will give you a helpful hint, Taurus. Well, A, I should tell you should go in the summer, because then you'll all come in the summer and leave the other months. Good for me. But for our friends who are listening to this podcast, I will tell you the best times to come are like in early November. February is a good time. Don't come in March or April. That's spring break. Don't come during Thanksgiving. I'll say come during Christmas, expecting really long lines, but awesome decorations.
Yes.
And those are my words of wisdom for theme park visits.
Yes.
From a near native.
So, yeah, those were our tips for a nice, fun, geeky summer vacation.
Until Disney opens a Star Wars land.
In which case, that will be recommendation 1, 1A, and 1B.
Yes, and 2, 3, 4. And yes, we're told that we forgot not a theme park, necessarily, but...
Oh, if you're in the area... Yeah, if you're in the area, you have to absolutely have to go here.
Yes, go to Kennedy Space Center. And starting this Saturday, the next Saturday, the 29th, you will be able to see the Space Shuttle Atlantis.
You can see the Space Shuttle Atlantis. You can stare overhead and gawk as you walk under a Saturn V rocket hanging hanging parallel to the ground from the ceiling.
No, it's not. It's not from the ceiling. It's held up.
Is it? Okay.
Trust me, I used those pillars to separate school groups many times. Because I worked there and I got to sleep under the rocket. Which sounds dirty now that I think about it.
Yeah. Oh, and it's hilarious that we don't edit this show.
That's okay.
But yeah, there's all sorts of great historic things you can see at the Kennedy Space Center. You can take a look in the distance and see the Apollo 1 launch pad.
Yeah, they actually have tours that go there now. They have the Cape Canaveral tour, Lennon Now tour, where you can go around all the old launch pads, and they have up close tours that'll take you out to the launch pad, and you can get drive past the Michigan the Launch Control Center and the VAB. Yeah. It's an awesome place. And I am looking forward to going there and seeing Atlantis and probably crying.
Oh. That's one of my great regrets in life. I never saw a shuttle launch.
Yeah. I still get sad when I realize we're not going to see anymore.
Indeed. But yes, that's Cammy's concerns this week. Some lovely ideas for your geeky summer vacation. And with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Visit the blog and find links to great geeky gear and some great audiobooks. On Twitter, you can find us with the handle at Tashi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with at Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with at Lanewinery, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we're the Tashi Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It does help us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. That's the official blog of the show. Thank you for listening to another episode. We will catch you next week. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.